Our Lord has left us with a very big task. Go and make disciples. The song we just sang said, "All I need is you, Lord." And to accomplish the task that He's left us, certainly all we do need is Him. But there's a role that we need to play. We need to participate with Him in the task of making disciples. In order to do that, we need to understand what is in His Word. This summer, we're going through a series in Proverbs because it is a book of wisdom. How many needs more wisdom? Anyone here need more wisdom? All right. Good. We can all use it. Proverbs, the first chapter, sets the stage for what we're talking about this summer. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. And what are they here for? Verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. That's what we're here studying this summer. Wisdom, God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing on being smart when it comes to our money. We're going to start by taking a look at our money in regards to our spending of money. That's today. Going to be a lot of fun. How many of you need help spending money? Anybody need help spending money? It seems like it's pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple to spend money. We're also going to be talking about saving money. That's a little bit tougher, isn't it? Saving money. You know, those are the savings accounts where you get them up to $1,000 and then your car falls apart and you're back down to negative $200. Personal experience of the last few days. Saving money is difficult. And then, of course, we're going to wrap up our time together on the third Sunday talking about giving. But let's start with this concept. Being street smart with money is a plan for handling your resources God's way that encompasses spending, saving, and giving. This is the way to life-changing freedom. If we spend, save, and give money in the way that God has outlined in His Word, you will experience life-changing freedom. And it will be a feeling that you'll wonder why you didn't do it any sooner. Of course, the opposite is also true. If we decide, well, this is just another topic that needs to be preached because it's in Proverbs, and you don't pay any attention to the wisdom found in God's Word, if you're not spending, saving, and giving as God intended for you to do, then you will not be able to experience life the way God intends you to experience it. This is not going to be new information. This isn't anything earth-shattering. We know that if we live a life according to God's Word, our life is going to be a whole lot easier than if we take this book and put it on a shelf at home and forget all about it. We know because we've probably been there, done that. We've ignored God's Word to our own peril. So it's important for us to realize, what does God's Word say about money? Do you know that money, just the term that we would translate as money, is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible? And the concept of finances and wealth and generosity and other terms that we're going to be studying are mentioned thousands and thousands of times in the Bible. It must be pretty important to God. He understands that we live in a physical world and we need money. We need to deal with it. So He has a number of things that He's going to say about it. Now, let's begin by looking at what could be considered a very surprising parable in Luke's gospel. If you have your note sheet there, it says it's in John's gospel. My brain and my fingers had an argument. My fingers won, but they were wrong. It's actually in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples here in the first few verses. And he says, you know, there was this rich manager. And he was a crooked rich manager. And his boss called him into his office. And he said, look, I've heard some really disparaging remarks about you. I've heard you've been padding your expense account. I want you to make a reconciliation of the books. You can no longer be my manager. In today's language, you're fired. You're out of here. Well, the guy said, well, what is it that I can do? I'm not sure which end of a shovel I'm supposed to hold. I can't do physical labor. And I am far too proud to beg. What is it I can do? I know. He thought of a plan. So he called in all the guys that owed his boss money. He was the financial manager. He was told to take care of the books, to make a final reconciliation. He's going to do that. So he says, how much do you owe my boss? The guy said, 100 jugs of oil. Great. Mark down 50. Really? Great. That's a contract. Now I owe half as much. He brought in the next guy. What do you owe? 100 sacks of wheat. Write down 80. Great. So we look at this and we say, what a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He's losing money for his boss. You know what his boss said? It's right there in Scripture. His boss was amazed, surprised at how wise and cunning this guy was. He's preparing for himself when he gets booted out on the street. Now he's going to have all these friends that he gave a good deal to that would be willing to accept him into his house. This guy is pretty smart. And the master praised the crooked manager because he knew how to take care of himself. You see, street smart people are wiser many times than people of the kingdom of God, because they are on the constant alert, looking for angles, looking for ways to survive by their wits. In this parable, Jesus said, I want you to behave in the same way to us believers, kingdom of heaven people. He said he wants us to be street smart in the same way, but not for earthly things, for heavenly things. How can you, as a believer, use your resources to gain friends in heaven? How can you, as people on earth, use your earthly resources for the good of the kingdom of heaven? That's the point Jesus is making. I want you to be street smart. I want you to use human, physical, mundane resources such as money, talent, skills for the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 11, Jesus says something that I think is very surprising. He says, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who is going to trust you with handling heavenly treasures? God has given all of us earthly wealth, earthly things to manage, earthly families to run, businesses to operate. If we can't be trusted in handling those earthly things, how is it we're going to be able to handle heavenly things? God uses money as a test of our management and stewardship skills. And this crooked manager in our story acted with foresight. And God says, I want you to act with that same kind of foresight, but use your money for that which is lasting. Faithful use of earthly wealth and It's repeatedly tied to storing up treasure in heaven. Now, the manager, he was surviving by his wits. And Jesus said, be street smart in the same way, so that you can survive by your wits. The kingdom of heaven is a place that we will be going to. The question is, what are we sending ahead? How are we storing up our treasures in heaven? Are we aware of the fact that we need to be doing that? The Master has given us everything that we have. Everything. How much do you think God is interested in, percentage-wise, of having us use for His honor and glory? Just 10%? Why would we think that? He's given us 100%. Why would we think He's only interested in 10? He's interested in how we use 100% of the resources He's given to us. Our time, our talents, our treasures. He wants us to use it for kingdom purposes. Now, the question is, how discerning are we when we start handling these financial resources? We're the money manager now. We're given the task to handle our earthly resources so that we can advance the kingdom of God. How are we doing? Now, God's interested in 100%, but I'm not suggesting that we start eating only rice and beans so that we can give more and more and more. God knows we need things here on earth to live and function and to survive. But I'm thinking, how is it? What's our mindset when we go to make a sizable purchase? Do we think in spending money, how much is it per month? Because I've got a paycheck and I can make that monthly payment. Or do we think, how much does it cost? Because I want to pay cash. You see, if we start thinking, how much is it per month, what we're probably thinking of is using some of these wonderful little devices that our society has developed. Credit cards. Because you can buy hundreds of dollars worth of stuff and only pay a small monthly fee if you ignore the interest rate. And so many of us do. Let's see, we've got Avenue. Clothing. It's not my name that's on that card. We've got Kohl's. Yeah, you can buy everything you need at Kohl's, right? Yeah, Susie says. If you really get in a pinch and you need tires for your car, there's Just Tires credit card. Now, this one is very special. This one was no interest for the first 6 months. But if you didn't get it paid off within 6 months, you know what the interest rate was? 29.99% interest. You better get it paid off in the first 6 months. But my friends, there's this thing called life that happens. And you make the purchase, not being a wise manager of God's resources that He's given to you. You make the purchase and then life happens and your car breaks down, your refrigerator falls apart. Life happens and you have to divert funds so that you can have a car to go to work to make more money because you've stacked up a bunch of things at Kohl's and Avenue and tires and good old Home Depot. We got to have plastic for Home Depot, and there's Bank of America and Capital One and Chase, and these are my favorites. I did a lot of traveling, so here's United Airlines frequent flyers, here's U.S. Air frequent flyers, and here's American Airlines. No preset spending limit, and they give me points. Isn't that special? They also give me, I think it's like 16% interest last time I checked. If we spend money that way, are we being good managers of the resources God has given to us? I would say no, not so much. And Proverbs would agree with me. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, And the borrower is the servant to the lender. Don't you just hate it when the Word of God is so mystical and so obscure in the way it makes those statements? I mean, this is a hard one to understand. The rich rule over the poor. Wow. Is that true? Of course that's true. We live in a society where that's true. We live in a world where that's true. The rich rule over the poor. There's nothing amazing about this. This is understood. And the borrower is the servant to the lender. In other words, my friends, let's just take credit cards, or, you know, there's also student loans. There's all kinds of other things that are going to entangle you like this character would just love to do. See, this guy brings with these little plastic cards all kinds of interest rates, all kinds of hidden things which we don't really understand until it's a little too late. And then we... What are you doing?
Well, allow me to introduce myself.
Yes, please do.
I am Mr. Money. And your name is now... No, my name is on your money.
Yeah, but your name is on my money.
Yes.
But I don't want it to be on my money.
Well, it doesn't matter what you want now. I'm in charge.
Why?
Well, you signed the receipts, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but I wanted the product. I had to sign the receipts to get the product.
Give me your other hand.
I don't think so.
Give me your other hand.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Why? I'm back to signing the receipts.
Yes.
Okay. Now, not too tight. I want to be able to get out of this, you know.
It's going to be a very, very long time before you get out of this.
What's the interest rate? I thought I had a real good interest rate. Didn't I have a good interest rate?
That was just the introductory interest rate.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Well, it's gone now.
Where'd it go?
It doesn't matter. Allow me to show you the new interest rate.
I don't want to see the new interest rate. What's the new interest rate?
Take a look.
Oh, I can't pay that.
You have no other choice.
Oh, what happens now?
Well, allow me to show you your financial future.
Wait a minute. No, I'm not interested in that direction. The rich rule over the poor? The borrower is the servant to the lender. This is what you do every time you decide, how much is it a month? Oh, I can pay that. What you're about to see doesn't happen when you try to get out of debt. What you see only happens because I have to continue preaching. Excuse me. There you go. Let's give him a hand. The rich rule over the poor. There's no other way to put it. How bad is it in the United States? Well, according to one new survey, one out of every three Americans would not be able to make a mortgage or rent payment if they suddenly lost their current job. They have no extra. Lose their job, can't make the next rent or mortgage payment. According to a Harris Interactive survey taken near the end of 2011, 77% of all Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck. 77%. Back in 2007, the same survey found that only 43% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Do you understand that increase? It jumped from 43% up to 77%, paycheck to paycheck. The good news is that the problem has been discovered. The problem has been identified. I can share with you today the root cause for most of your financial worries when it comes to spending money. I've got it right over there behind that screen. You want to see it? This is the root cause for most of your financial troubles. You want to see it? No? Oh, you want to see it. Let me show you the root cause for most of your financial troubles. Up there in the balcony, you see it? Yeah? Everyone sees. Now, I got to admit, I noticed a couple of you weren't looking at your own reflection. You were looking at your spouse's reflection. I was noticing that. You see, the fact of the matter is that divorce is the largest percentage money problems caused. Money problems was cited as 57% of the problem of divorced couples. They divorced over money problems 57% of the time. That's the largest percentage of reasons for divorce. Why? Why do we spend money like this? We're the one making the decision. Why do we do that? Most likely it's because of lack of contentment. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says to us very plainly that we are not to worry about the things that the pagans worry about. Israel read this earlier. He says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, or your body, what you're going to wear. Life is more important than food and clothes, isn't it? Well, the obvious answer is yes, it's more important than food and clothes. So why worry about them? Look at the birds. They don't worry. They don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. Aren't you more valuable than a bird? Well, yeah, I'm more valuable than a bird. Why worry about the clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the wildflowers. Solomon, in all of his glory, wasn't dressed up like one of those. So why worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink? Why chase after all these things? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them, and he will provide them. What you are to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. They're going to be given to you because your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then we find the same theme in Timothy chapter 6. Timothy is being reminded by Paul that godliness with contentment is great gain. You didn't bring anything into this world. You can't take anything out of this world. Be content with what you have. If you have food and clothing, be content with that. But be careful. People that want to get rich, or people that want to use credit cards or loans or some other form to get rich or appear that they're rich, they fall into a trap. In fact, people fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires plunge them into ruin. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Be content. But what does our world tell us? Our world is the most marketed to world in the, our nation is the most marketed to area in the world. There are TV commercials and print ads and radio commercials by the millions that are telling you exactly what products you have to buy and when you need to buy them and for what reason you need to buy it. I mean, you watch TV and we find these commercials for drugs. You got a hangnail? Are you suffering with the pain of a hangnail? No one should have to suffer with the pain of a hangnail. Buy this and such drug. This and such drugs has a few side effects, dizziness, vomiting, nausea, fainting, heart problems, death. But no one should have to suffer with a hangnail. We're so marketed to, it's just a natural course. And the problem becomes we start believing this marketing. Proverbs chapter 14 tells us the naive believes everything. Ooh, that would include a sales pitch, wouldn't it? But the sensible man considers his steps. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but the foolish is careless, arrogant, careless. Just plows right ahead. Believes whatever the salesperson is trying to sell. Remember, the salesperson isn't necessarily your friend. The salesperson is trying to make a sale. They want your money, so they'll tell you what you want to hear. You say, well, buying things is not my problem. I don't have enough money to buy anything extra. Well, Proverbs 23:5 helps to get the perspective on money. 23:5 says, cast a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Have anyone ever run into that before? Oh yeah, we all have. Maybe it was a bad investment, maybe it was a good investment, and money just, you know, the economy, it just did what it does. Why do you think they call it a liquid asset? It flows, it moves, it's dynamic. And we need wisdom to know how to handle it. We need to be careful to make certain that we're not being naive in the process. The fact of the matter is that one out of every seven Americans has 10 or more credit cards. There are 609.8 million credit cards held by U.S. consumers. That's the estimated number, and the estimated number of households that are carrying credit card debt is 50.2 million. So of the houses that have credit cards, 50.2 million actually have a balance on their credit card, and they're carrying a debt. This is according to the Federal Reserve's February 2012 report on money. The 2011 data that this report came from shows that there is $801 billion in credit card debt. So if you divide that evenly among the 50 million households, that's $15,956 of unsecured credit card debt in the United States Americans' households. That's a lot of money. Student loans has reached an all-time high. It is now above $1 trillion. I found a student loan debt clock. And as you notice, the last six places are blank because the clock was moving so fast I couldn't type in the numbers fast enough. It's going crazy. Our national debt is $15 trillion, but our student debt is already into the trillions. According to a study conducted by the BlackRock Investment Institute, the ratio of household debt to personal income in the United States is now 154%. What that means is that we bring in $1,000 to spend this month, and we spend $1,540. That is a big difference. We must have gotten the impression that we're the American government and we can print money. But we can't do that legally. But we have more debt than we do income because of the deal we were willing to make with people wearing funny-looking hats. We need to be careful of the spending decisions that we are making. I remind ourselves again our key verse, Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. Now, there's a way that we can get out of this. God doesn't leave it up to our imagination. He tells us in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you have become surety, English word for you have debt, for your friend, maybe co-signing in this particular arrangement, but if you have made a pledge and you've gotten into debt, you've shaken hands with a stranger, you know, Mr. Visa, MasterCard, or whoever it was in that green suit, you've been snared by the words of your mouth, you are taken by the words of your mouth, so then do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself and plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. If you've gotten yourself into this situation, you need to pay attention to this set of instruction. Deliver yourself, humble yourself, plead. Those are all commands. Those are things we are commanded to do. Implied here is don't get into debt of this type in the beginning. The imperatives that are listed here is to humble yourself. To humble yourself, to actually hurry up in doing it, to go quickly. And then when you get there, be willing to plead. And the idea behind that word is also to pester them. Don't let them say no once, and that's the end of it. Pester them. Work on getting your way. Do it quickly. Plead with them. Swallow hard. Eat the humble pie. Get yourself out of that pledge. Act like you are a person in a trap. You're snared. You're taken. Those are hunting terms. They have captured you. The lender here is not your friend. He is a hunter. And they are very wise. They go to young people like you that are ending up on a college campus, and they'll have a special deal for you. It used to be that they would actually have tables set up, and they would give you a free pizza if you signed their card and received a credit card. No questions asked, $1,500 limit. It's yours. Sign the card. We'll give you a free pizza. We'll give you a hat. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. And since the college students were new to all this, they thought, $1,500 of free money. Great. And they would sign up. The friendly lender is the hunter, and it's the one that captures the bird. But in this particular scenario, we are really more confused than the gazelle or the baffled bird because we're the one that put the net together in the first place. We're the one that signed the document. What we need to do is to be willing to get out of this financial situation. You're probably wondering what this little contraption was that we were given at the beginning. It is a tool for all of us to use. If you have yourself one of these credit cards that is carrying a balance and you're paying an interest rate on it, I've got a suggestion for you. Put the credit card inside this container. See a problem? Problem solved. Take the credit card that is causing you problems and cut it into nice little slivers. This is your Avenue card, honey. Cut it into nice little slivers, and you will find that it fits inside this little container very, very nicely. See? Now, if you don't have a credit card that is carrying debt, that's fine. You can use them for convenience. You leave them intact. That's fine. If you have a friend, though, that hasn't been able to conquer the problem, give them this little thing and show them how to deal with credit cards that are driving you crazy. And then work on getting out of debt and getting out quickly. You see, there's a lot of practical things that we can do, and here's why we should do them. You can get these things online, but if you have a Visa card with $2,200 balance, 17.9% interest rate. It'll have a minimum payment of somewhere around $55 a month. If you pay just the minimum payment on that credit card, then you're going to be paying for 13 years, 1 month, and you will pay $2,344 worth of interest. Ow! More interest than you actually put on, $2,200. Get out of debt in a hurry simply means don't pay $55. What happens if you pay $65, $10 a month more? $65, you'll only be paying for 3 years, 11 months, a total of $820 interest. That's moving the right direction. And now on all credit card statements, it's required by federal law to tell you what you will save if you pay it off in 3 years. In this particular case, you would pay $617 in interest, for a substantial savings in interest, and you'll have that paid off in 3 years. That's the reason to get out of debt and to get out of debt as quickly as you can. God has given us the privilege, the ability of using the resources that He's given to us. How are we using those resources? Stop using the tools that the world is forcing on us that detract from our resources, our ability to give more money to God and His kingdom, and waste money on interest payments. In the back of your note sheet are a lot of suggestions, practical suggestions. Out on the patio are practical tools for you to use. There's some things that I want you to consider. Honoring God with 100% of your money, not part of your money. And make sure that as we are responsible for making an impact on the kingdom of God, we do so in a way that brings Him honor and glory and uses the most of our financial resources for His glory. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. Amen.